Suzanne, and welcome to the Solaria Report. This is Catherine Austin Phipps. I have returned with Thomas Meyer to the Jungfrau. We are overlooking the Alps over the Interlaken Lake. It is absolutely spectacular. The hang gliders keep sailing across, and Thomas, I can't thank you enough for inviting me back to the Jungfrau.
Thank you, Catherine, for coming with us on this special day.
Yes, it's Whitsun. A very special.
And the clouds are veiling and unveiling the mountains. So we have a very lively scene in front of us.
It's
like
an art museum.
Exactly. A living art museum. Yeah, let me give a short overview of the points I want to go through, and we will discuss.
Okay.
As it is Whitsun, I would like to go back to Easter and its significance.
Right. Now,
number
you need
one.
To tell everybody what Whitsun is, because not everybody knows.
What?
Not everybody knows
Whitsun.
What Whitsun.
Okay.
Everybody knows Easter, but they don't know Whitsun.
Whitsun.
Today is Whitsun.
Well, that's the day that in the Bible most people will know, when after the resurrection, 40 days afterwards, the disciples were assembling, and then there were fire tongues, flames coming down on each of them, enabling them to speak in all sorts of languages about the event they had witnessed at Golgotha.
Mm-hmm.
That's Whitsun. The Holy Spirit descending. The Holy Spirit.
Okay.
This is to be found in the Gospels, not in the Gospels, but in the story of the Apostle by Luke. Apostle story,
yeah,
that's the only place.
The
readers, the listeners can look it up, the
right.
Scene with the flames coming down, with the inspiration and with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the Holy Spirit festival today. And we're coming to that. And before that, we have Easter. And everyone will know what Easter is, with the resurrection mainly, Golgotha. And then between Easter and Whitsun, this is just a brief overview now,
right.
We come to Ascension, which is not so known maybe, but in Catholic countries they all are conscious of it. That is the Ascension, where we have a wonderful painting by Raphael, which you might use later.
I've seen it at the Vatican, but you know, when you're at the Vatican, you're sort of tearing and seeing everything.
Yeah.
But looking at it in your book really focused me on it.
Right. And then we come to Whitsun and its significance. And at the end, we would have a fourth festival day, which is not very known in America, maybe. This is St. John.
Right.
That's the 24th of June. And this is also linked with an important spiritual impulse. And I will go to briefly show what it means.
So give me the order again.
Easter, Ascension, Whitsun, St. John.
Right.
And St. John will lead us into the present world disorder.
Right, and it's interesting because between April and June 24th of this year, we're in a real remarkable spiritual war.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I totally agree. And I want to end up, as far as my part is concerned, with looking at the world situation now from the point of view of going through the significance of these festivals.
So let's dive in.
Good. So the first one is, of course, Easter.
Right.
And to be very elementary, what is the significance of Easter for humanity? There was a situation, you find that in spiritual science, where if human bodies were decaying, became decadent, and the danger was that there were no future incarnations anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There was a decaying process in the earth, in human beings, and the mystery of Golgotha, the resurrection deed, refreshed the human nature to such a degree that it could come back in future incarnations.
So the soul could stay immortal.
The soul could stay?
Immortal.
Immortal. Yes, immortal, but coming back to earth, not just going into a nirvana.
Right.
And the precarious situation was everywhere, especially also in America, in Mexico, where there were very dark mystery places, which had sacrifices and murder cults, mm-hmm. which led to the souls to want to leave the earth forever.
Right.
Yeah. And the mystery
that's
of...
That's happening.
That's yeah. happening. And the mystery of Golgotha was the counterbalance act so that souls could, even if they have had terrible experiences, could come back. And the main point in our maybe short view on this is this deed was giving every person on the planet the possibility of coming back in future incarnations, irrespective whether the soul was believing in the deed of Golgotha or not.
So the way I would describe it in Christianity, we say that the mystery of Golgotha brought the new covenant. The new covenant. And part of the new covenant was me or any person able to connect directly through the Holy Spirit with the divine. And we didn't need complicated rules. You know, we could connect. We could have an intimate relationship with God ourselves.
Yeah, but now you bring Whitson in.
Right, so I don't mean to get ahead.
That's okay. Because right. even if you're not a Christian, even if you are a hard-boiled materialist, you were profiting from the deed of Golgotha.
Exactly.
The deed of Golgotha doesn't care whether you believe in it or not.
Right.
It was universal.
The new covenant was everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And now the deed of Golgotha, as it has such an effect on human development, because otherwise our development would be on different planes. Ascension, about which we have this wonderful painting by Raphael, which you can all see in the internet, is actually telling chosen disciples, because this was not for everyone. In the Bible, you will find clearly mm-hmm. Christ took Jacob, John, and Peter to the mountain. And on the mountain, they had a vision of Christ ascending. And not only that, there were two figures also come into the vision, Moses and Elias. Mm-hmm. And they were really shocked by or hit by this experience and came down from the mountain. And in Raphael's painting, you see they come into a scene of an epileptic boy who cannot be helped by anyone here, by the other disciples, mm-hmm. but he can only be helped by the Christ. And I think the epileptic boy could be looked at as an image of humanity without Golgotha. It would all go that way.
Right.
And there's only one remedy for...
So it would be madness.
Yes, madness, yeah. What we have today to a certain right. degree. So ascension is not showing that the Christ leaves humanity and leaves the earth. That would be in concrete contrast to a number of sayings like, I will be with you every day till the end of the world.
Right.
And he has linked with the earth through Golgotha. The drops of the blood went into the earth and made the earth's substance different. So ascension doesn't mean Christ leaves humanity, but it shows what would have happened without the deed of Golgotha, namely that all the etheric bodies of human beings would have striven sunwards towards the sun. The etheric always wants to go away. Uh-huh. And it would have gone away without Golgotha. Oh. So no incarnations. And the
so
Christ keeps...
just a hyper-materialist.
Yes. And he would not come back. The etheric bodies of the human beings in that crisis situations were kept together by the Christ being. That's why life on earth with the successive incarnations was, so to speak, guaranteed. So ascension shows what would have happened if Golgotha would not have happened, and it shows a humanity going into craziness.
No, we just started to use the term mystery of Golgotha, but not everybody knows what
okay.
it means. So what is the mystery of Golgotha?
Well, the passion, the life, the passion, the death, and the resurrections of Jesus Christ.
So it's basically Christ's coming and fulfillment.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I think literally, correct me if it is not correct, Golgotha means in Hebrew, the place where you have the skulls of the people who have died.
Right.
And
the
that,
so he conquered death.
Exactly.
It's the conquering of death.
Right.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know, Daskalos is not a name for your listeners, the healer.
I don't know.
Okay, then we leave that out for another time. Beautiful story. So that's Golgotha. Golgotha was...
And I just have to interrupt and say my
please.
Favorite collection of lectures by Steiner is called The Mystery of Golgotha.
Yeah, it's called like that in English.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the most, you know... In Steiner you find also a comment to Leonardo's Last Supper, which is known, no?
Right.
And he says, if some being would come down on Earth from Mars and he would only see this painting, he could figure out what was the meaning of Earth's evolution.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you see the Christ, knowing that there is the traitor there, and he lets the traitor come in. And this is an image of the highest hierarchies which let the evil forces come in for a while to play their part.
Right.
And a visitor from Mars would see, oh, this is about love, freedom, redemption. That's the deeper meaning of Earth's evolution.
Right.
That's Leonardo.
Right.
And if you know, if you take into account, maybe we can be open about these things today, that Leonardo da Vinci, which is not very known, was the reincarnation of Saint Augustine.
Really?
And of Judas.
Really?
So the reincarnated Judas painted the scene in the Last Supper.
No wonder he was so careful about his notes.
One knows that when he was making the sketches for this painting, there are two problematic figures he struggled most with, the Christ and Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the moment where the Christ says, one of you will betray me. And Peter is most shocked and wants to know, who does he mean? And no one knows, and not even Judas looks like a traitor. He's also there because he didn't have a cheap money motive.
Right.
But he wanted to press Christ to show his power. And he knew he had the power, but he didn't understand.
But it's always the money men who get frustrated with the risk management of the leader who's thinking strategically.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite things, seeing the Last Supper, is here is this magnificent painting, and you see it, there's a mural on the other wall, the opposite wall, and the tour guide had us look at that one and then turn and look at Leonardo. And, you know, one is very, very flat, almost two-dimensional, and then you see Leonardo and you realize the way he painted the light and people's light.
Oh, yes.
It's remarkable. But the thing that's amazing is Jesus' feet have been cut out because the monks wanted to make a door to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so they destroyed the part of the mural. And so the metaphor of the Catholic Church trying to pull Jesus' feet out from under him is very appropriate.
Yeah. Speaks for itself.
Yeah.
So this is essential scene just 3 days before the deed of Golgotha, the crucifixion.
Okay.
That was, what is it called in English? Not Good Friday, the Thursday before Good Friday.
Oh, forget.
But you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that shows the cosmic, also the cosmic, not only the human significance for of this deed, that evolution could go on with human beings having successive incarnations to fulfill their duties, to make their mistakes on Earth and so on. And this was a deed for everyone and every race and every creed, no matter. Everyone, even you could say a person like Lenin or even Hitler, these people profited from the deed of Golgotha.
Right.
Now this is important, because with Whitson, we come to Whitson, is different. Whitson is not in the same sense, and this is today's festival for everyone. But Whitson is, so to speak, while Easter is showing the deed of the Christ helping whole humanity, Whitson is the occasion festival for understanding the deed. The deed and the understanding of the deed are two different things.
Right.
So
the understanding by the human.
By the Spirit.
Ah.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit moves into everybody.
Exactly. Well, into those who want to accept it.
Right.
People who have a hyper-materialistic view and say, we don't need Holy Spirit, we need the recognition of the white and the right cells to understand the virus, etc. They won't be able to receive the Spirit.
Right.
And there is another aspect, and this is important, I think. Whitsun is not only the festival of the Holy Spirit coming in the picture of the flames, coming down to the disciples, enabling them to speak in all languages, which they never did before, to the amazement of the audience, so to speak.
So it almost reverses the Tower of Babel.
The what?
The Tower of Babel. It reverses the Tower of Babel.
People
can hear each other.
Yeah.
Understand each other.
People can understand even the most foreign other. Yeah. Through the Spirit understanding. And connected to that is, and that's very important for this festival today, freedom.
Yes.
And you can hear, we can hear place in the best way, the word by the Christ. You will find the truth or see the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Right.
And freedom and truth and finding truth belong together. That was the error of Judas. He wanted to force his master to show his power. And you cannot force anything here.
Right.
So we have the festival of not only the Holy Spirit, but of the individual waking up for understanding the deed of Golgotha.
Now, does Christ ascending, is that a condition precedent to bringing back the insight, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit?
No, maybe I was too short. The ascending, you mean the Ascension Festival.
Mm-hmm.
This is showing to the best, to the most initiated or progressed disciples on the mountain, what would have happened if Golgotha. Yeah. It was a kind of, not warning, but a kind of a reminder, make you clear that without Golgotha, all the etheric bodies would go into the cosmos, dissolve, and the Christ force kept them back so that they were future and made young again, the human physical etheric nature.
Right.
That was decadent.
Right.
We would have had our last incarnation maybe in the second or third century and then finished.
Right.
So, and Whitson has to be found by the individual, by understanding, by an interest in the deed of Golgotha.
And part of it is understanding that if you will allow yourself to receive it, it's available to you.
Yeah. If you want to receive it with an understanding spirit, not just passively, with an understanding, right. If you want to, what was Golgotha? Why is it important? What is the meaning of it? That has to enter into it. And then you are open for that spirit. And today is a wonderful opportunity to practice that to a certain degree.
Right, and then you know no one can take freedom away from you except yourself.
No one can take freedom away from you. Right. And no one can give you freedom also.
Right. It's your inheritance, but you have to nurture it.
Yeah. And today, well, we come to that in the last part. So that's the relation of Easter and Whitsun. Whitsun is only available for those souls who want to understand the deed of Golgotha of Easter. And of course, not everyone does want that today. So what does that mean for the future of those who have profited from Easter, from Golgotha? You cannot in the same way automatically profit from Whitsun. You have to be ready, as you said. You have to be open. Mm-hmm. And then the Spirit can come to you. But if you have no interest in the Spirit cannot come to you.
Right.
Then you get a vaccine and think that's the Spirit.
Right.
You know, the vaccine thing today is like people look like in the Old Testament in the desert, they got the manna from heaven.
Right.
And
when people talk about it, they talk about the way I would talk about receiving the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
As this incredible life-changing gift.
Yeah.
Almost, I don't want to use the word magic, but it feels
quite
magical. And they talk about it as though it was...
Yeah, but there's always a caricature of important things. If you say we all were somehow living in the time of the Old Testament here and there, so we knew about the miracle of the manna come nourishing us, coming from above. And today, the caricature of that is that people believe in the universal bliss of the vaccine.
Well, it's amazing. I haven't shown it to you yet, but there was, on New Year's Eve or somewhere during the holidays, on the Seattle Space Needle, there was this light show that showed stars in the skies, and then they're all pulled in, and then they come back out, but now they're on a leash. They're on a string.
Oh.
And it looks like a metaphor for the vaccinations.
Yeah.
Taking all the souls and putting
them on a leash. Taking the souls and destroying the quality of the etheric, which is always... expanding, universal, peripheral.
Right.
The physical forces are centric.
Right.
And we favor the physical forces and we make us, physical centers and we lose the peripheral qualities of the etheric. And that's a death, a sort of a death.
I'm not sure they want to kill the etheric. I think they want to channel it, control it, and own it.
Yeah, but that is
unnatural.
Of course, they can't kill it.
Right.
But they can, well, the etheric forces become very distorted and weak. And I think today our lifestyle is not strengthening, but it is weakening the etheric forces.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there is another relation of the etheric. It is a relation of the etheric to what you call devotion. Devotional capacities cannot flower in a being with a dry, hardened etheric body. We need the etheric to be able to have devotion to the higher. So
that means a certain health.
Yeah.
Physical health,
right.
Too.
How to strengthen your etheric bodies? There is one good means that is rarely applied. I know the difficulty myself. This is if you change one bad habit, you get some new etheric forces. If you kill, the habits, the bad habits especially, they are parasites of the etheric forces. delay from the etheric forces. Uh-huh. And if I am able to kill one bad habit, I free some imprisoned etheric force.
Uh-huh.
In a way, very easy, but very, very difficult, because we can ask ourselves every year, was there one little tiny habit I killed? I don't think many people can say yes, but you can try.
I'm trying. So one thing that our subscribers really loved when you taught them was about how lies create elemental beings. And before you know it, you've got an entire constituency in the spiritual realm.
Yep.
For different lies. And when you try and undo a lie, you run into this
resistance.
It's like an army.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. Well, and I think Whitson is a very good source for getting...
clearing it out.
Yeah, and getting stronger understanding forces so that you can understand these beings and these realms. That you understand. We have to understand the so-called evil also, to understand what is its function in the universe and why is it not absolute. But we need a force, and Whitson is a perfect...
So, while I was here, I shared with you what one of my colleagues did in terms of how to deal with the nanoparticles that we're ingesting into our bodies.
Yeah.
Can I tell that now?
Yes, sure. Very good.
So I was describing some of the, you know, synthetic biology and different nanoparticles that, you know, people say is in the spray or it's in the food. We did a wonderful food series on with a professor from Purdue who talked about some of the more creepy things they're putting in the food. Anyway, so this is very disturbing stuff. Anyway, so she went off with a group of her colleagues, and they worked on it for about a week, and they decided what they would do is have a ritual where you speak to all the nanoparticles and all the synthetic biology in your body, and you say, nanoparticles, you know, if you stay in my body, you must serve the Christ. So any nanoparticle that's not willing to serve the Christ, you got to leave right now. And then everyone that stays, we baptize you in the name of the Christ. And from now on, you serve the Christ. And so whatever crazy stuff is getting in you, it can't get out of alignment with your...
Yeah. Yeah, very wonderful perspective. I think that requires that you have been baptized, your soul, yes. Your spirit, yes. And then you can evolve these beings. I think you could even ask, if that is done, you might have the worst vaccine or worst substance in your body. You can turn it over so that it doesn't harm you in the same way as it would harm you if you don't have this perspective.
Well, I'm praying.
Are we agreeing?
I always talk about an interview I did with a woman, Dr. Gwen Scott, about the synthetic biology that's in the spring and was causing Morgellons disease. And
what disease? Sorry.
Morgellons disease is when some of the synthetic biology particles sort of start bothering you. Anyway, and so it was such a negative, depressing content. I did a pre-interview with her, and then I called her back and I said, Dr. Scott, we're not going to talk about what's in the spray and what it does to your body. We're just going to talk about the 10 action steps you can take to protect yourself and to keep yourself healthy. So I read her my 10 steps, and she said, well, dear, you forgot the most important one. I said, what's that? She said, Grace, if you look at what's happening, we should all be dead, but we're not, so something else is going on. I call it Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the human race has this incredible gift to transform. You know, in scripture they say, what the devil meant for your harm, God intended it for your good.
Yeah.
So there's a there's a transformation that can occur.
I do agree. I would just add or make it implicit that's working. Insofar as you first transform yourself,
yes.
Then you transform all the things around it. So we start with ourselves. You know, and give up the illusion that we have to work on our neighbors all the time.
Right.
Because that's exactly. Hopeless. It's hopeless. It never works.
Well, the thing that we can change and
it's very near.
Change ourselves, that can have an enormous
absolutely.
Impact.
Right? Absolutely. But that
if
means
you understand the mystery of Golgotha.
Yes, but that means the mystery of Golgotha also teaches us we are evolving. We are constantly learning. We are not finished and marvelous or this and that.
Right.
We have to go on, proceed.
Right.
And our education is in the contrary direction. You are important because you are this and that and that. No? And you identify with this.
I know, but it's all ridiculous.
It is.
It is.
It is.
This is how you get people to, you know, all this ridiculous social prestige stuff, it gets people on a string and gets them doing what you want them to do.
Yes.
So it turns them into
yes.
the
I agree.
Poodles.
I agree. So as we have the festival of understanding today, we could say the cosmic understanding, get to know, to learn. It's we had the grace of Golgotha without our merit. Mm-hmm. But then we have the possibility to understand the deed of grace of Golgotha. And this is
and
our...
And to receive it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we have to try to understand it. Yeah. Otherwise, we're just not automatically
right.
be illumined.
So I've been trying to understand it for years and years and years,
mm-hmm.
and every year I learn more.
Exactly. That's wonderful.
Right.
That's wonderful. That's like with great art. Whenever you see it again,
right.
you feel, well, have I seen that before?
Right. So on Raphael, when you showed it to me, that's what I felt like I was looking at it the first time, even though I've seen it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, that means we're going on. You know, if you may I finish the frame,
please.
And then we go into practice and talk again. Now, the next festival in the year would be St. John. And in St.
John... This is one I didn't know about. Yeah.
It's not so known. Maybe in England more than in America. And this is the day of St. John. That's why the name. John the Baptist is the day. It was, by the way, the reference day of the good Masons. It's 24th of June.
24th of June.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's the St. John's Day. Now, spiritually, this is linked as Easter is linked to Raphael, the archangel. No, not to Raphael. Yes, to Raphael, the angel of healing. Christmas is linked to Gabriel, the angel of birth.
Right.
St. John is linked to Uriel, who
isn't,
was...
Isn't Uriel the... The angel of healing?
No, that's Raphael.
Ah, okay.
That's Raphael. Uriel was known in the Jewish tradition, in the book of Enoch that your friends know very well.
Yeah.
He has a specific part. And in spiritual science, there is a link of Saint John with what is called Uriel is the awaker of historical conscience.
Huh.
Which is totally absent today, because people live from day to day and they don't care what was yesterday. And historical conscience is an important faculty to feel yourself more and more in the stream of history and to ask yourself, what do I do? Do I further the positive things or do I not even know them? You have a continuity consciousness.
Right.
Including the truth of karma and reincarnation.
Right.
That's why the knowledge of reincarnation in a concrete sense is so important, because then you know what is your place in history to a certain degree. Now,
I would say that you understand the stream you come from.
Yes.
Or come through.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then you can consciously build on the good things you have done and leave the others away or transform them. And that's important, to have a wide horizon. And the Ahrimanic powers today, and the phantoms, and the doubles, the Ahrimanic doubles,
right.
they all focus your consciousness of today, of this minute, of this second, and you lose the wide
right.
vision.
It's a very shrunk world, and it's a very...
Shrunk.
Shrunk.
Yeah, shrunk.
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 Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And look at this terrific contradiction. We have been struggling for years and years to get global, global technology, global. And global, where are we now? And where
smaller.
Are we now? Yes.
We're small.
We
small,
are in the prison. We have put ourselves into the prison. This is just...
One of the great insights of the Solaria, or that came through the Solaria report, was we had this wonderful workshop with Dr. Joseph Farrell. And whenever he gets very frustrated, he will burp out these genius insights that then take me, I spend the next year trying to understand. But he had this explosion of temper about drumbeat music. He said, mm-hmm. when you play the organ, Bach wrote 24 to 26 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
He said the drumbeat music has one track, boom, 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 boom. And he said, no one can understand reality because they can't deal with complexity. They've been brought up in music that has one track instead of 20. You know, life has 20,
yes.
26 tracks.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. And what you realize was, I found this teacher who had raised his children and had a whole system of raising children only on complex classical music. And their ability to learn was dramatically increased because they grew up on 24 to 26 tracks.
How interesting. Yeah. Very good. Yes, we have to have the will, the positive will for complexity and swim in complexity and find our orientation.
Right.
But today we are really inspired to do, and this is an Alemannic tendency, just to limit yourself. Forget all your past, forget all this idiocy of spiritual science about past incarnations, even of the planet. Like there was a evolution that goes back to the Saturn state, very, very far away. Forget it all. Just live in the moment and forget everything.
Because if I want to run everything centrally, if I can get you to just focus on your little box,
yes.
and stay in your box, then I can control everybody,
yeah.
and I know what's going on.
But that's what you see in public.
Absolutely.
With all these masked people who believe in the holiness of the mask and get emotional if you have no mask next to them. But
well,
that's the trance. Yes, that's the trance. But now let me make a link from St. John, based on Whitson, understanding even the spiritual side of the world. Then you come to the historical conscience. And if you do a deed with the historical conscience, you will have the urge of asking, is this finding, do people find this justified in 100 years, what I'm doing now? Is there any, you know, is there any sense of morality that goes beyond the moment? And this is the basis of the new book of this gentleman.
Dr. Sukrit Bhakti.
Corona Unmasked.
That's fabulous.
And
it's finished.
Isn't
it? Yeah.
And his deep concern is, can we stand with all these absurdities with the future generations? Will they not ask us, where were you? What have you thought to enable all these absurdity, these measures? This is a case of historical conscience in the good
yes.
sense.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, it's no chance that this man, I met him briefly in Lucerne when we were there with Osher and Natalie, and I had a strange urge. I didn't ask anything about the virus, whatever the virus is, nothing. But I asked him, you are meditating, aren't you? And he immediately said yes. And then we talked about Buddhism and spiritual things for a couple of minutes.
His family was originally from Thailand, although
yes.
He grew up
in Switzerland.
In Switzerland.
But he is Thailand. His father was ambassador of Thailand in Switzerland. That's why they went to Switzerland.
So I was in Thailand for a month in 2019.
Uh-huh.
And it's remarkable because the country is almost 90% Buddhist.
I know.
And the energy there is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And whenever I talk to Sukrit, it reminds me. I just finished, I've read and reviewed both of his books at Solaria.
Wonderful.
He is one of the people leading the Doctors for COVID Ethics.
Yeah.
And they are a remarkable group of people.
I know.
I told you last night I watched Dr. Yaden's new presentation.
Yeah.
And it's the thing that's, these are a group of people who love science.
Mm-hmm.
They love science. They love to see what science can do to lift up our intellect, our mentality, and that the reason I really feel they're great scientists is because they understand what science is for.
Yeah, they have a much wider understanding of science than just being natural science bound to matter. They understand that science has to understand scientifically all realms of life, including the soul, including the etheric.
Right.
And then that is a freeing process.
Right. Science serves life.
Yeah.
Not you know, it's not a weapon.
It should not be a weapon.
Right.
But it is used as a weapon today. Yeah. So we have an Ahrimanic science today, and we have a spiritual science in Gross. And he has a spiritual background. That's why I felt immediately, he can only go through this with his serenity and calm attitude, as he has an anchor in the spiritual world.
So there was a really fantastic moment when I joined you and your tribe in Sofia to see Wagner's Ring. And somebody sent me one of the videos of a doctor, he's a neurologist or a specialist in neurology, who focuses on I would describe electromagnetic science and neurology as a weapon to control people's minds. His name is Dr. Giordano. And on the Soleri Report, if you go to the commentary mind control tactics used on young people and children, it's way down at the bottom of all the links. It's sort of a collection of links on mind control. Anyway, so I watched this and I got just so wildly upset because it was so in violation of the war, you know, just of reality. Anyway, and I brought it and I sent it to you and I showed it to you and you said, oh yes, he's a hyper-materialist. And that was the first time I heard the expression, which I use now constantly, all the time. I got it from you. And what you were saying was, this is a man who doesn't understand that the majority of reality exists.
Yes. Yes. He's limited.
He's you know, a Christian would say he's lost. He's totally lost.
Yes. He is limited with an intelligence who is very bright on a certain area. And if you go one inch beyond this area, there is darkness.
But he doesn't even understand how the human body works.
No.
Or our human consciousness.
Yes.
It's like he's been totally dumbed down into this little box, and he's doing terrible harm because he doesn't know any better.
There was a very ingenious German physicist and an idealist, a spiritual person, who once said a simple thing, if you only know chemistry, you don't even understand chemistry.
Right.
So if you only know the material face of the world, you don't even understand the material face of the world, because it comes out of other regions and so on. So we need an expanded consciousness and a freedom from these limitations. But that means we have to understand that we have an unfree force in us who forces us to use our intelligence exactly in the same direction, in a certain direction.
Stay
in the box.
Yeah.
Don't lose it.
Yeah.
Don't go out. Don't dare to go out. And that's why I think he is a great scientific and moral force at the same time, because he sees these absurdities and wants to say, look, we are here in his foreword and his afterwards are telling. You know, you could see.
I don't know if you know, what he said was for the first book, this is Corona Unmasked, is the second.
Yep.
His wife was the one who first got him to pay attention. He was off, you know, doing science. And his wife, they have a young child.
Yes.
His wife was, you know, what kind of future is this for our child? And she kind of.
I think it's very important that he has a young child in his age. I feel a bit.
You know, because you do too. Yeah.
And then you have a different angle. You have to take that into account, what lives there.
Yeah.
So he is wonderful and he's courageous. And I hope he will make a breakthrough somewhere, also in Germany. when I hear that 24 American states have no measures anymore, whatever will come afterwards.
Well, you have many states passing laws, because I've said, and I'm going to keep saying, and I'm quoting Naomi Wolf, the passports are the end of human liberty in the West.
Mm-hmm.
They will end liberty, and they will take people into slavery, both the passports and the vaccine mandates. Neither of those can be tolerated. And
absolutely.
We have many states now who've outlawed
it. I see.
And the mandate fight's coming. And so you know, I'm telling everybody this year, we either win on the mandates and we win on the passports, or we're toast.
But in the foreground of this battle, we should have European states like Switzerland.
Absolutely.
If Switzerland would say bye-bye to these measures and to this mask and mandatory things, then that would make an impact all over.
Right.
But the Swiss are...
So here's the problem.
Hijacked.
The Swiss are landlocked.
What?
The Swiss are landlocked.
Yes.
Which is a very important sort of control point. But the other thing is, whoever is doing this controls the satellites in space.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of the control is coming... The only guys who have that capacity have big capital.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically threatened, whether it's space weaponry, weather control, all these other things. So we have to be willing to stand up.
Absolutely.
To, you know, because to me, this is...
Yeah. And if we, our individuals, for freeing minds to see the absurdities of all these things and the counter liberty tendencies, we might be helped after a certain point, even by, that sounds maybe crazy or paradoxical, we might be helped by a cosmic catastrophe which puts an end to all these things for a couple of years.
Right.
Because it is not sure for me whether the force of the sound persons with a sound mind and a sound soul are sufficient to stop the whole absurdity that would mean to stop the course of the future evolution.
Right.
It's not only our lives, it's the future evolution, like in Gondi Shapur.
Yes.
They tried that. They tried to give the whole evolution to the future, to the next planetary state, a totally different direction. And the same forces are at work now.
Right.
So I think we have to do our best and hope for the best and be open for help from above, and this help paradoxically could even take the form of a catastrophe.
Yes.
You agree?
It could come in many ways.
Okay. Yeah.
It could come in many ways. I mean, that was the flood.
Yes.
The flood was meant as a positive force.
Yes. Yes.
We don't, you know, we never know. You know, it's funny because I look back now and I remember when I was targeted in the 90s and basically, they destroyed my business, they destroyed my home, they destroyed my fortune, they destroyed everything. It turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, but it didn't feel like it at the time.
Of course not. Yes, that's why you are a very good spiritual fighter yourself.
Every day I wake up and I say, thank God I got thrown out of the establishment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in the middle of the establishment?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That is the great example. I mention it even if you don't know, and some of you listeners. I think some people know Krishnamurti, the sage from India who has been abused by the theosophists to be a great world teacher. And one day he threw off riches he had, castles he was donated, and went his way. And he said when he dissolved this order of the Star of the East, he said, somebody said, you will lose all your audiences. What will you do? And he said, if I have 5 people who understand me, that's enough.
Exactly.
He's a modern Gideon.
Right, because this has to be a consciousness, not a cult.
Yeah, exactly. He lived and worked in OJ, California, you know?
Ojai.
Okay. And I was really thrilled when I heard a couple of weeks ago, on his night table, he had one book that was The Philosophy of Freedom by Steiner.
Isn't that interesting?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
he went his way through slavery to freedom. And I think he would offer, he's a good example.
Now, one question I have for you, and I just want to ask it again. What does this, the Ascension of Mary comes in August.
Oh, yeah.
How does that relate to this?
I don't discussion? Think that's the same ascension.
No,
I think
no,
that's a real devotion to this individuality who brought Jesus to earth for her future spiritual development, which won't, I think, exclude possible future incarnations again.
Right.
That's ascension.
It's such a beautiful
day. Yeah, yeah. That's August 8th, I think.
I think it's August 15th. But it's
15th, you're right, you're right. Yeah. It's 15th.
You know, in Lake Constance, they have in the center, the Lake Constance is where Austria, Germany, and Switzerland touch.
Yeah.
And the borders touch in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
And there's a statue of Mary.
Oh.
And every year the boats go out into the middle of the lake to pray for Mary.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
yeah, quite beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Well?
So Easter, Ascension, Whitsun.
St. John.
St. John. But Whitsun is when is the day we receive the Holy Spirit. So I hope that as our audience listens, that each one of us is willing to be the beneficiary of the Holy Spirit.
I agree. We might add, the Holy Spirit is also the healing spirit.
Right.
So I totally agree with that
right.
wish.
And the spirit of freedom.
Yeah. Thank
so
you.
That's my prayer for you, that you will be free.
Thank you. Equally.
Okay, Thomas. So I'm trying to entice you to come back and do more on the Soleri Report. So I want to dangle out to our subscribers that
okay.
exciting possibility.
Thank you for being here and joining in this wonderful conversation on this special day.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Soleri Report. Talk to you soon. Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3.